following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Lord, tonight as we turn our attention to, I think, what is so important for us as a church to get. We have to get this. Lord, tonight, would you just open up our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us? Whether we're tuning in online or we've shown up in this building, we believe that you have something for us here tonight. So, Lord, would you just open us up for that, Lord, to receive what you have for us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's an orange slide that's going to come up here. I want to see if you guys recognize this orange slide that is coming up here. Do you guys remember this? Anyone remember it? Yeah? Oh, there they are in the back. I know there's some people online who raised their hands. I remember that. This was 2 years ago. We handed out this card, and it's a ton of the one another's. The idea was that we would put all the statements of the one another's on the card. And so this is what we have. We would have loved to hand it out to you tonight, but because of kind of what we're trying to do is not hand out stuff at church at this point because of the rules and regulations, we didn't do that. But we'll put it up on social media, and you'll be able to go on to Facebook and grab this card if you'd like. But there it is right there. All the one another's listed right there for you. Digitally. Again, love to put it in your hands, but we're not doing that right now. So anyways, it's going to be up on social media, but we thought this would be such a perfect time with all the things going on in our culture right now, so many questions, big questions, to take us back to what we are called to do as the church. In fact, Pastor Bill's been in this series on Wednesday night called Rethinking this Thing Called the Church. Rethinking this thing called the church. When we think about the church, sometimes we need to get back to the basics. What do we think about the church? And one of those things that we need to talk about is the one another's. And there's 59. There's 59 of the one another's in the Bible. So it's great. We're going to talk about all 59 of them tonight. No, we're not. We've selected some to talk about tonight. We're not going to do all 59. But let me ask you this question. When you think of when you think of McDonald's, what defines McDonald's? What on that menu defines McDonald's? Big Mac?
Fries.
That was me. I said fries. Mm-hmm. I think somebody said Big Mac.
Fries and Big Mac.
Fries and Big Mac. When you think of Chick-fil-A, what defines Chick-fil-A?
Waffle fries.
Waffle fries.
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought the chicken sandwich, but
I love the chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Milkshake.
Okay. Strips, the chicken
when you
strips.
Think, okay, when you think of In-N-Out, what is the definitive In-N-Out menu item?
Double-double.
I put hamburger in there like double-double. Okay, so double-double. When we think about the church, we should be defined by this one thing. And I think Jesus, he will bring it out. Now, obviously, Jesus is a lot of powerful things, right? There's a lot of one-liners Jesus has that are like, wow, that's incredible, right? There is something that is so definitive in this moment that Jesus is teaching, and he says this one thing. I want to draw it out for us tonight. So if you would, look at Matthew chapter 22. Actually, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. It's up there for you if you can read it. If not, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. And as you're turning there, Jesus is actually defending himself. There are some Sadducees that have come against him. And the Bible says that he actually silenced them. He silences them with the word of God. They've come out to get him. And then we see this other group come, and they're like, oh, they're going in on Jesus. This is our turn. We'll go in on Jesus. We'll come after him. And look what he says in Matthew 22, verse 34. It says this, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, of course, right, asked him a question. Here's the question. And look at the heart behind it. What's he trying to do? What does it say in there in the text? Testing him, right? Not like, hey, I really want to know this for my own personal benefit, right? No, he's saying, I saw what you did to the Sadducees. Okay, I'm going to test you on this one, Jesus. And here's the question. Verse 36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, at the time, in that era, there's about 613 different commands that they had come up with. And this guy is trying to say, Jesus, out of those 613, which is the most important? Why is he doing that? So that when Jesus picks one, what does he do to all the rest? Oh, those aren't important, Jesus? So instead, Jesus answers the question, listen to what he says, and why it's so important we listen to this as the church. Listen to verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything that all the other commands, all the things that you've been taught in the Old Testament, he would have said, they all hang on these two things. Love God, love man. When we think about McDonald's and we think immediately, oh, that is a Big Mac and fries. That's what they're good at, right? When I think about Chick-fil-A, I think of waffle fries and I think about that chicken sandwich. I think that's what they're good at. When people think about the church, the thing that they should think is they love God and they love people. When they think about Refuge, when they think about the small local church of Refuge, people should say, man, those people, they really love God and they love people. When they think about the global church, the church at large, they should think, man, that's the place I go when I want to know about who God is and when I feel like some way I need to be loved. I go to the church. Now, obviously, we have not always, big C, little C, local church, global church, has not always done a good job at this. But when we think about defining what the church is and rethinking what the church is, this is the area we all need to come together in and really think about, are we a place where people come and they receive the love of Christ in their life? When they run into Chase or Jonathan or Jeff, do they sense that they're loved by the Lord, by the way we treat them and the way we talk to them? And that's a question we need to answer tonight. So we're going to look at that a little deeper tonight. In fact, Chase has some texts. 59, I think we chose four.
We did choose four. So as Jeff mentioned, that our call as believers is to love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, from Matthew. I'm actually going to read you guys the first one, the first verse that we have for you guys tonight out of these one another's, and it's to love one another. So I'm pulling from John 13, verses 34 through 35, and it says this: "I give you a new command, love one another just as I loved you. You're also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." So the context of this is the night that Jesus was betrayed. This is the time frame where you guys have heard of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, right? Has everyone heard that story from John 13? So this is kind of what they had just seen. They experienced their rabbi, their teacher, come and wash their feet. And then what they're going to experience in a few days from there is Jesus dying on the cross for them. Actually, a couple of verses right before this, Jesus talks about him being glorified. And so he's talking about just this idea of in a couple of days, they're going to experience seeing Jesus being glorified, right? And the idea behind it is Jesus is saying, okay, there's now a new commandment. So what Jeff had just quoted from Matthew, that's actually out of the Old Testament. That's actually from Deuteronomy, right? This was known as the Shema, right? And this was something that every Jewish mind would have known, but yet they didn't always live it out. Well, Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples, he says, "A new commandment I give to you." Not that this is completely new in the sense that, hey, this other thing doesn't stand, but he's saying, you know what, but when it comes to you, when it comes to you and I, when it comes to other believers, we're to love one another. Yes, we remember that, but we're to love them in the same way that he's loved us. And so he raises the standard even more beyond what it was just to love them as yourself, because we all love ourselves, but he's saying, now we're to love in the same way that he's loved them. And what did they just see? They've seen this servant-hearted, they've seen this him serving them. They've seen him die for them. Jesus actually tells us in John 15, he says that there's no greater love than this than he that would give his life for his friends. And he would end up giving his life for them. And so, again, as he's saying these different things, it actually makes us think about, okay, what is he talking about? What kind of love does he mean? And the love that we have as brothers and sisters, this love that we're to be known by, actually should look completely different than anything else the world has ever seen. Because of our example, because of what we received, who is he talking to? He's talking to his followers. He's talking to people that would eventually receive what he had just done. And so as he's calling us to this, he's calling it to people who have experienced the love of Jesus. And he says, hey, in the same way that you've experienced this grace, this love, this self-sacrificial, just kindness in spite of what you've done, you're now to show this to your brothers and sisters.
And so definitive of this moment of the disciples modeling Christ is that second part of that verse where it says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. So in the same way, back to the kind of the fast food analogy, right? The same way McDonald's is known for the Big Mac, the church, he says, listen, all these people who come to run into you and bump into you, and some that will join the eternal family, right? Join the church and be part of the body of Christ, they will know you by the way you love each other. Mm-hmm. When the church forgets that, right? When the church forgets to love each other or give grace to each other or give mercy to each other, the world sees that. The church feels it for sure, but the world sees it as well. What is different from the church than the rest of the world? Jesus knew that, and he's, listen, by the way you serve each other, that's the way they will know that you love each other. Mm-hmm. Definitive.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about it, there's another time where Jesus actually brings up something similar. It's like, if you love only your brothers, what good is that? Because even the pagans do that. I mean, your little group, your little niche, your little tribe of people, whatever it is, if you only love people that look like you, talk like you, think like you, that is no different than anyone else in the world. The true test of our love is, how are we loving other believers who are from a different tribe, a different group, a different political party, a different denomination, a different zip code, whatever it may be? How are we showing love across those boundaries?
Yeah.
Mm. One more thing I wanted to just say on that too. You know, in Romans 12, it talks about loving without hypocrisy as well too. So, you know, a lot of people love people out there, right? Like you were mentioning, Jonathan, a lot of times with partiality, but this is not what it's talking about. Right? If we're loving someone because they can give us something, right? That's loving like the world does. If we're loving someone because, man, they're nice to us, then that's still loving as the world does. But this Christian call to love is not because of the other person. It's because we've received this love from Jesus already, right? First John tells us that we love because he first loved us. So he's our model, and it's also what propels us forward.
Yeah. I think we have another one another.
Yes. So we have the next one we have is encourage one another. That word to encourage one another. So one of you guys read 1 Thessalonians 5:11?
Sure. It says this, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. So he was, you know, encouraging them to continue to do something that they were doing, but it was this idea of comfort each other, edify, or building each other up.
Yeah, I think what's cool about this passage too is, again, the context is he's reminding them to continue to encourage one another about Jesus' second coming, as well as the fact that for the believer, the promise is eternity. And I was thinking, man, how timely is that right now as we see so many just things in our world broken and just kind of out of whack. But for the believer, that is not our source of hope. Our source of hope is what Jesus has done. Our sources of hope is knowing that ultimately, man, we have eternity with Jesus, and our source of hope is, again, our encouragement of this time frame is we should be living in the reality of Jesus' promise of coming at any time. I think a good parable, too, that kind of exemplifies that is the parable of the talents, right? You're stewarding faithfully the things that God has given you in a way that ultimately leads to his glory and the building of his kingdom.
Yeah, and the idea of encouraging, I think you just brought up, was the idea that he's returned, he's coming. We'd all say he's restoring.
Yeah.
So even when the bad things happen, right, and we all have those things happen in our life where things that are like, oh, how is this happening? I just had a conversation with a guy yesterday. My wife and daughter were shopping. There was a guy at the front door, and he was doing security, and I was just standing there. So I just struck up a conversation with him. And we were just talking about all the craziness of 2020 and all the things that have been going on. And he said to me, he said, but things are going to get better. things are going to get better. And I thought, wow, what a encouraging word from a guy who I don't know. And I think that's kind of the thing that we have great hope in, that regardless of things get better or not, we have hope in the Lord that says he's returning and actually he's restoring. And actually, even when things get really bad and really difficult, we know God is going to use that and redeem that in some way.
Yes.
And so I think, you know, the guy who I was talking to, he just thought, hey, I'm going to encourage this guy. Things are going to get better. Right? I encourage that. You know, thank you. But I think at the end of the day, you and I, and those that are believers, we really truly believe we can encourage each other by saying, hey, he's returning, number one. Secondly, things will be redeemed. All this will be redeemed in some way. So.
Yeah. No, that's so true. Again, that for the believer, it truly is. And God's going to work all things for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. So, yeah, it is awesome. We can have that hope. Encourage one another.
Yeah.
We all need it.
There you go.
The third one another we pointed out, wanted to point out, was bearing with or one another. So bearing with one another. So the third one another we want to point out was bearing one with one another.
Yeah.
So would one of you guys read from Galatians 6?
As soon as the remote decides to
work, okay, I can
for
read from
here.
It.
I'm trying, but yeah.
So Galatians 6:2 says, carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Anyone have any thoughts on that?
We should do it. It's a good thing.
I had a friend that was in the Marines, and when he was doing their training runs, you know, some of these guys, especially when they start, they're carrying these, you know, 90-plus pound of bags. If somebody couldn't finish it, the rest of the team had to carry the gear for them and carry that load. They might distribute it across everybody. One person might just decide to grab the whole thing and be, I don't know, a little foolish, but try and take it all on themselves. But they carried each other's burdens.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what this call is here, is that there's going to be a lot of people who that we are side by side with in our church or in our family that are struggling with things. And when we see that there's a burden, what can we do to come alongside and relieve some of that burden and carry some of that? And that's really, I think, really that idea of bearing each other's burdens.
The church shouldn't be a place where people just drop and go, right? That sometimes that we feel like, man, you're leveling me with all the burdens. Instead, there should be a place where we share each other's burdens, where we say, listen, this is a safe place for you to come, and I'm gonna be there for you, and then there are gonna be times when you need to be there for me. And that really, when you think about the law of Christ, like that servant law of Christ, love each other. That's part of that, right? That you would love each other and share each other's burdens in that.
Yeah, and I love that you pointed that out, Jeff. I think, again, it's not just a one-sided thing, but it really is. I think it was J.I. Packer who said that, you know, real fellowship comes with both love and humility, right? Sometimes it's me that needs to be encouraged and built up, and man, guys, this is really hard. Can you help me out in this time frame? And then other times, man, they're going through the hard thing, and you're encouraging them. And that's what's so beautiful about it. It's not putting one person above the other, but we're all in need of Jesus, and there's those time frames where you need a touch from a brother and sister and just to say, hey, man, Jesus is faithful, he's good, and he's going to get you through it. One last thing about Galatians 6:2 is... So what's interesting about Galatians 6 is there is, at the beginning it says, bear one another's burdens. So the idea behind the word burden too is it's something that is too heavy for someone to carry. And then later on in Galatians 6, it goes on to tell you, but each person should carry their own weight, basically. And so he uses a different word for kind of the weight. So one is, if something is too small where they should carry it, you're to allow a person to carry it, right? But if something is too heavy for them, then as brothers and sisters, it is our call to walk alongside them and to help them bear what they cannot bear on their own.
Before we move on to the next one, trivia question here. What's the first one? We're going to talk about four. We've done three. What's the first one? What's the first one another? Love one another. Second?
Encourage.
Okay. Third? B-E-A-R, bear. I learned today that's how you spell the word bear. Jonathan was like, yes, B-E-A-R. Bear one another's burdens. That's
You're still
third.
Getting tripped on that, aren't you?
I look at it and think like a bear. Rawr.
Just think Brown if there's ever a bear that tried to attack us, we would all have to do it together.
We have to bear with each other. Yeah. Right, got it. Yes. Okay, good. So those are the three. We've got one more, and then we're gonna move into Q&A time. Just kidding. There's one more after.
Well, there's one more verse on this one here.
But so. Q&A time is coming up, so make sure you're thinking questions.
Okay, last one is forgive one another. Forgive one another. Jeff, would you read Ephesians 4?
Sure. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Yeah, again, a great illustration, I think, is from Matthew 18, where it's just such a beautiful picture of this, where there's a story of a man who was forgiven of a huge debt, and he is ecstatic, he's excited, and then as he's walking down the road, there's someone who owes him a small amount, and the guy asks for mercy, just as he had just asked for mercy, and rather than giving it, he actually says, man, no, pay up, you have to do it right now. And kind of the moral of the story, I guess, at the end, as Jesus is talking about, is, hey, we are that person that's been forgiven of this huge debt. And so we, too, are to forgive our brothers and sisters who may at times offend us. And that's kind of part of relationship, where if we're really in a relationship with someone, there will be hardship at times, or there will be time frames where we offend one another, but there will also be time frames where we have to forgive one another. And that's part of God shaping us to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, part of that one another.
Yeah. All these are potentially very difficult to do, right? To love one another all the time, to be encouragement. Encouraging one another can be easy for some people and it comes naturally. Other people, it's a lot more difficult. But then you put seasons of pressure on us and encouragement becomes even harder. We feel like we need to be encouraged, but yet Christ is the one that encourages us to move forward. I would say the bearing with each other, forgiving each other, these are all difficult things and really cannot be done on our own. And so Jonathan's going to talk about what we need in order to do this.
Absolutely. So as we kind of are moving in to this section here, we really think about the fact that we're trying to live out this value. If this is the great value of our family, one of the biggest, strongest values that we are supposed to have is love God and love one another. It's great if we learn all 59 one another's in Scripture across 51 verses and 15 books and all this stuff. You can do all those, you read the whole card and memorize the whole thing. But if we're not actually practically living it out, what good is it? It's head knowledge when what we really need is a change in our heart. And so how do we actually apply this? And we're going to look at a couple examples of actual issues that apply to our lives today. But really, in order, here the summary of it, if we really want to see how do we do this, we need to look to Christ. We need to look to Christ as both the model of this loving one another, encouraging one another, and also the source of the strength to be able to do it. Because we're not going to do it on our own. It's completely goes against everything. It is, come on, we are Americans. We're one of the most proud, individualistic people on top of just being sinful humans. So which everyone has those tendencies, but as Americans, we're very proud of the fact that we are proud and independent. So it's like we take pride in our pride. But we do that, right? So how do we do these things that go against the very thing? The first thing is, again, looking at Christ as our example. And the verse here that I've got up there on the screen is John 13:15. For I have given you an example. This is in that same message that Jesus had just washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And so it's that idea that, hey, Christ has given us an example of how we should live our lives. And another verse, and then I'll see what the guys, if they've got something to add to it there, but in Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So again, it says, be an imitator of Christ. Walk in the love as Christ also has loved us.
Yeah. I don't want to add anything to that.
Okay. Anything Perfect. To add there?
Yeah. The only thing I was just going to say is Jesus talks about, again, the purpose of discipleship is that the disciple would ultimately become like his teacher, right? And so, again, if that's our goal as followers of Jesus, it's to become like Jesus. And so, again, like you were saying, he is our example in the way that we would take on situations or see things, for sure.
not only is he our example, but he's also the source of the strength. Because I don't know about you, but the idea of some of these people that we're called to love, it's hard, right? You ever have that issue? Or am I the only one that has a difficult time loving difficult people? Whether they're members of your family or somebody at church that unfortunately you see and you try and get into another conversation. I see some people chuckling. I know you do it. We all have been guilty, I think, at one time or another. But Christ is our strength. He will give you the strength to be able to love one another, to encourage one another, yeah, to bear with one another, and all of these one another's. And so Christ is our strength. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of the power to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to equip us. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit the last couple of weeks. The Holy Spirit will put on your heart and on your mind the people that you need to bear with, yeah, or forgive or show that love to. And he's also going to give you the strength to do it. So we look to Christ, we see his example, and then we go out and do it in the power of Christ. And another verse that talks about this is there, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So the spirit that God has given us is a spirit that we have the power to do these things. We have the power to love other people. We have that power of having that sound mind, that we're not going to be caught up with every divisive air, a wind of doctrine or politics or whatever that might be sweeping through.
So if I hear you correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the only way that the church becomes known for being the place that loves God and loves humanity, loves people, is through the power of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because it's a supernatural love that we're called to have. The word that you see a lot in Scripture, in that passage that where Jesus washing his disciples' feet, the word used there is that word agape. It's the type of love that is completely sacrificial, being willing to lay down everything. You know, it might be easy to contemplate who would you jump in front of a bus to save, who would you take a bullet for, but that's almost the easier thing. But it's the day-to-day sacrifices. Those are the difficult ones that you have to each and every day willingly sacrifice and lay down your life. Those are the difficult ones that you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit, or your sin just continues to come up to the surface and you're so focused on yourself that you're not focusing on others.
Left up to, I think, ourselves, we are a room filled with people, full of people, right? Humanity, we're all humans, and people who are watching at home, they're in a room with a person or filled with people. And we will naturally, as Jonathan said, we will naturally not go towards forgiveness or compassion or mercy or bearing with each other. And so the thing that makes the church different, definitively different, is the fact that we have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God that speaks to us and directs us. So here's the cool thing about that, is each one of us individually is responsible for what we do with the Lord and how we respond to people. If somebody's going to come to Refuge, small C church, local church, if somebody's going to come here and they're going to say, "That's a place that knows God and loves people," I'm a part of that. You're a part of that. Mm-hmm. And what we do with the Lord in our own personal lives, it matters to the corporate church, the bigger church, that we are known by our love.
Yeah, one last thing I would say too is, like you guys are saying, it's not an easy thing. One author, I remember him putting it this way, and I thought it was so good, but he was saying that the church as it is, it's actually made up of natural enemies, right? As you have people of all different ethnicities, of race, of socioeconomic status, of jobs, of education, of these different things too. And yet the beauty of the church is they are one because Jesus is their Savior, because the Spirit of God now lives inside of them, and because God is now their Father. And so imagine walking out all those different things. There might be time frames where you might have disagreements or where it might be really hard to maybe love the other person. And then those are the time frames, like you guys have been saying, where we cry out, as Paul did, where he says that, you know, our strength is found most when we, or his strength is made perfect in our weakness, right? Mm-hmm. Where, because, and if we do anything good, we can glory in Christ because it's not us. We recognize our on our own, we're weak. But in our weakness, again, this is an opportunity for him to get the glory and for him to be able to do what's beyond us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move into a time where some questions. And if you guys have any questions, I can give you a number. You can send it, your questions, text them up to us. But if you grab your phone, if you get anybody here and has a question about the message that we've been going through, we'll try and get to some of the questions, but we'll definitely get to them if you send us the question. 714-485-0574. Again, 714-485-0574. And we actually already had a question that had come in, going back to that verse in Ephesians 5, where it said, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And the question is, what does that mean, the idea of a sweet-smelling aroma, that this sacrifice of love is about? Either you guys want to go for it? You guys?
Yes.
Okay, well, they didn't have a chance to hear it yet, so I'll jump in because I saw it
Sounds
there.
Sounds good to me.
Think about this. When you go out to barbecue, if you guys grill, you know the wonderful smell when that meat hits the grill. And if you're vegetarian, I don't know, maybe the zucchini hits the grill. I don't know, whatever the most aromatic.
Zucchini?
Yeah, have you ever had grilled zucchini?
Yeah, but
I wouldn't think of
the sweet smelling aroma.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. I'm thinking, yeah. I'm trying to bridge the gap between a carnivore and a vegetarian.
Right.
I'm guessing here. But the idea in that barbecue, that sweet smelling aroma, you come up to it and you're just like, it's pleasing. You know what's coming, right? In the Old Testament, the Bible actually describes the sacrifices that were offered at the tabernacle and the temple. They would let it just burn up. It wasn't like, nice grill marks, perfect medium rare, pull it off, let's eat it. But they would let it just continue to burn as a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. It was as if this was the beautiful smell was just rising all the way up to heaven. And so that's the imagery that Paul is actually using here, is that our love for one another is in some ways the same as that sacrifice, an offering that is made to the Lord. And so when we look at it that way, think of it that way, that yes, loving some of the people that we love can be very difficult, but we're not just doing it for them, we're doing it as an offering, as a spiritual act of worship for the Lord. And the Lord sees it as something beautiful. And that's where we're going for it.
Yeah, I'm this weekend, I'm teaching, and we're going to be talking about, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 17, and it talks about the Lord turning his face towards those that do good. And so I think that's part of that, is that it's like, sometimes I think we lose the idea that God is watching, right? And that he actually, like a good father, loves when we do something that is honoring or pleasing to him. And I think that's a great point, is like, hey, God saw that when you were kind, gracious, when you loved one another to that person who was, not kind to you, we'll talk about this weekend, not kind to you. God's like, right on. That's my son or that's my daughter who did that. It's pleasing to him.
All right. We got a couple questions coming in. One of them I want to ask is, what are some practical things that you guys can think of, in light of our current, craziness that we have? I had a friend that said, stop using the phrase unprecedented, time frame, or, you know, it's like, yes, we understand that it's not less. But in light of the craziness, in the political arena and everything, how do we show love, some practical ways, show love to Christians who we might disagree with when it comes to politics? And I'm framing it in this way on purpose, so that it doesn't matter what side of any political view you're on. How do we show love to other people who disagree with us in politics?
Yeah. Chase has got a great answer for this one.
You know what? So, you know, when it comes to just division and things where maybe we see things differently, firstly, just knowing that people, I think, are not ultimately our enemies, right? So, you know, Britt Merrick said this, and I thought it was great, again, but it's, you know, people are not the enemy. People are actually the prize. We do have an enemy, right? Who comes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour. The Bible calls him the slanderer, the accuser of the brethren, right? He is the enemy who seeks to destroy people. But when it comes to people, we should see them as people that, man, God desires to redeem, or again, maybe there are people that maybe we differ with, and yet the desire would be to see restoration. And again, if there's maybe things that we see in their life, again, there, that might be a restoration firstly with the Lord and then with one another again. So I would say being able to see, again, that our desire would be for their greatest good rather than just being right.
I think the other two, hopefully we're learning this in 1 Peter if you're joining us on the weekends, is that this is a temporary place for us. Like this, that we're not here forever. And we're, he calls us sojourners or exiles as we live on this earth. And politics is part of this earth. Like there's not politics in heaven. You don't choose which side you are in heaven, right? And in fact, if that person truly has chosen to follow Christ, and that's a brother or sister in the Lord who has a different view of life than you do, maybe, or a different view of politics than you do, or the way finances should be handled. But we have lots of differences in the body of Christ, as Chase pointed out. That's just one of them, but there's lots of them. And so I think for us, like finding common ground in Christ first and foremost, and then loving one another, bearing with that person, you know, even if they're on the different political side than you are, being gracious and compassionate to them. I feel like that's one of those things that when I hear it, I feel like we can't divide over this. This is something we cannot divide. We can disagree over it, but maybe we even teach the culture how you are able to have conversation, cordial conversation in loving and still disagree on certain things. The church could be a great asset in that area of learning to say, hey, we disagree on certain political things, sports teams, whatever, right? Jonathan and I have different sides of the almost every sport. But we still can honor each other and love each other. And I feel like, man, let's remember who we are first and foremost, I think, on that.
And I'm going to quickly say as well, if you find yourself in this area and you're seeing all these posts from other people and you're like, how could they actually believe that? Stay off Facebook. Delete your account if you have to. If Facebook is causing you to hate your brother, or you know, Jesus said, whatever it is that causes you to sin, cut your right hand off, pluck out your eye, delete your Facebook account if that's what you need to.
Yeah. One last thing too, just a very practical one that you see in Scripture too, is in Ephesians 2, I think I mentioned this before, but you have the Jew and the Gentile who very much did not like each other before coming to Christ. And then Paul's exhortation to them in light of Jesus, he says, man, you guys are one family, you're one blood, you are one people. And so again, if it's not the core issues and stuff too, is it worth it to try to be divisive about it? And man, I would say unity, we do know, is something that honors the Lord. And when we're living just divisively, that's not a good spot that we want.
And we'll definitely talk more about that this weekend.
Absolutely. I know we're running out of time. Real fast, there's one last question that we're going to be able to do because we don't have to take the time to answer it. And even Michael can come back out. But I was asked if I could put up the verses again so you guys could take a screenshot of those verses. So Josh, could you, in the back, could you put that slide up that had all the verses, the 59 different verses from the one another? There you guys go.
Good luck with that.
Good luck if you've got it on a TV. But if you've got your camera and you're in here, I can see already. And if you're on your computer at home watching it, you can grab it. But this will also be up on the church's Instagram feed and Facebook feed, even though I just told you to delete Facebook. It will be up there by tomorrow morning. So if you guys want to get it,
you can. Was that a suggestion or a command? Did you command us to delete Facebook?
No.
Was rejected?
It was if...
Because I can already see an email coming in where we're going to have to...
Well, you know what? If you feel that angry about it, then maybe it is time to delete the Facebook account.
Hey, one way that we can actively love one another is to pray for one another. Yeah. So, Jeff, would you pray for everyone here?
I would love to. Lord, as we, again, we prayed at the start of tonight before we got up here, Lord, that you would just open our hearts and minds to maybe some areas, Lord, that you would just speak directly to us tonight. And we covered four one another's, and maybe you did that tonight, but Lord, just the way, the heart behind the way that we view your church. Lord, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are people who come into the marketplace, into our works, into our families. Lord, as the church, we represent you. And so, Lord, would you just guide our hearts into being people who love one another, who love you first and foremost, and who love others. May we take heart, Lord, in one of those areas that you would gently correct us into the right direction and the way that we love other people. Lord, I pray for the church, the Big C Church and the local church. Lord, that this is a season in our nation and in the world where people need to see the church stand up. And as we come back to rethinking the church, as we think about who we are, Lord, will we come back to this basic and very simple principle, the command that you gave us, love one another. Love one another. Lord, if there's any actions that anyone, Lord, is out of step of that, Lord, I pray we come back in, that we repent, that we turn away from that, and we give ourselves back over to your call again in our lives. Lord, do that powerfully in this place tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great evening.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.